Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, Wednesday, June the 4th. Tomorrow, the final session of Saints organized team activities, voluntary workouts, wrapping up. The media will be out there. We'll have full reports from the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on tomorrow's edition of Sports Talk. Joining us now to help break things down is Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Jeff, how you doing tonight, man? Settling in for some Stanley Cup action at all or nah?
You know, I think I'm going to hold off until NBA action. We'll see. I think I can make it until the NBA final start, but I may have to cave. And you know, my issue is the puck is too small. I can't see it. I'm constantly squinting. It's just not a good viewer experience.
Real quick, we got into NBA finals last hour with Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, and he doesn't give the Pacers much of a chance in this matchup, feeling like an OKC in 5 kind of series, maybe 6. But just wondering your thoughts off the bat from what you've seen so far this season. Do the Pacers have any chance at slowing down this Thunder squad, man?
Probably not. I mean, I watched a good bit of the Pacers-Knicks series, you know, just because I felt like it was actually going to be interesting, and it was. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to play with pace. They're going to move the ball. They're going to have to score like 140 to win a game. And they can do that. And I think they will twice, right? I think the series goes 6. I just don't know if they're going to be able to shoot at the level they're going to need to shoot at 4 times to win this series, and probably not even 3 times to get it to a 7th game. If they can steal 1 game in OKC, they have a shot. And I think that's been the Achilles heel of the favorite teams in this playoff run, is they get into these playoff series and they kind of sleepwalk through game 1. Maybe they blow a lead. That's what the Celtics did. That's what the Knicks did. And then you kind of put yourself behind the eight ball. You never know what can happen. Injuries happen, right? Some guy, Shea, sprains his ankle, and suddenly it's a different series. So I think if the Thunder want to make this series easy for themselves, they have to win the first 2 games at home. And if they do that, I think it's probably a 5-game series.
Yeah, I got you, Jeff. Looking at some of the Saints action going on. Yesterday, the paperwork filed officially. Derek Carr has retired. It didn't take long. We saw Kool-Aid McKinstry sporting the number 4 in some Saints OTA pictures that they posted. And today, Derek Carr had an interview at Front Office Sports and said, well, he didn't just want to have surgery and take the Saints' money. So once again, I guess we have to give a big thank you to Derek Carr for not just, you know, taking that $30 million and sitting there rotting on the Saints bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have to give him a thank you.
Right, he's still got $10 million.
I don't have to go that far. But I do think that there was some level of, hey, I'm not going to try to jam up this team. I don't think, you know, but I think people kind of put a lot on Derek Carr because they don't like him as a player. That nothing happened between the Saints and Derek Carr for him to have this crazy level of animosity toward the team.
Right.
Right. Now, when it came to fans and getting booed at home and that sort of thing, yeah, I'm sure that rubbed him the wrong way. And that's probably why when it came down to it and they asked him to take a pay cut, it was like, nah, if I'm playing there, I'm making my money. When it came to the point that it was like, I probably am not going to play, then he was willing to work a little bit more. And I really think that's a good chunk of what it came down to. Now, at the same time, if he had tried to get that money, I think they probably would have fought it in some way, and he probably wanted to avoid that too. So at the end of the day, you're moving on, and it's a new era, and that became official yesterday. They waited until June 1st so they could spread out the cap hit. There's really no other meaning behind it than that. Ryan Ramczyk still hasn't officially retired. They just kind of take their time because there's really no rush to do it. But like you said, someone who didn't take his time was Kool-Aid. The day Derek was off the roster, he was in number four, and I find that to be kind of hilarious.
Yeah, he was just waiting for number four to become available, so good for Kool-Aid. Hopefully it does him some better service than it did Derek while he was here. The QB battle is definitely what we've been most locked into during OTAs, and I'm sure that's going to carry on into training camp as well. But from what we actually get to see and the quote-unquote action that's going on at these practices, it definitely is the most entertaining of position battles you can watch right now. And just, you know, you see the confidence definitely in year two for Spencer Rattler right now early on. And Tyler Shuck has made some impressive throws just today. You know, when we saw some Saints posted some more videos online, and I was just bugging Charlie going into things saying, oh, look at this Shedeur Sanders height video, or, you know, Cam Ward, they're overblowing things. And then I got all excited seeing, you know, the deep pass, you know, Shuck to Shahid. And I was like, all right, I get it. You know, it's the time of year right now where we're supposed to get excited about nonsense. And with no pads, no pass rush, we've talked about it a ton, but there is still some things you can glean from these sessions. And at least it looks early on that Spencer Rattler is looking comfortable year two going into this new system with head coach Kellen Moore. And the fact that the number two pick in Tyler Shuck that was selected by Kellen Moore is assimilating well to life in the NFL so far.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? It is 7-on-7, no pads, no pass rush. So you always have to kind of start your analysis with that. And if someone is not starting their analysis with that, they're probably just trying to, you know, sell you some beachfront property in you know, whatever area there is in a beach, right? Like, that's where you are. Like, this is that time of year where everyone's trying to get engagement on their tweets, so they're going to put emojis and like, ah, fire, darts, and stuff. Anyway.
He is that guy.
Yeah, he's him, right. You know, one of one. And in reality, it's like you are getting the skim milk of football, right? You're getting the tiniest little bit of it, but it still looks like it, but it's just not the same. But I mean, that's where we are, right? Like, so Spencer Rattler, I think if you had to start a season today, he would be the steadiest hand. He's the guy who looks ready to play, and I think that's what's going to stand out throughout the course of the preseason. You know, we're going to have it's really not that far off. It's only a couple months away, and you'll be facing off with the Chargers in LA, and then you get the Jaguars at home. Both those games are going to be on NFL Network. And that's where you're going to get a clearer picture of, okay, where is Spencer and where is Tyler? Right now, Spencer does look a little more confident and in control in the offense. Tyler, you know, the arm talent is clear, and anyone who's been out there watching him, you can see it. You know, and that was kind of Spencer's selling point last year. And now you're looking at a guy who has all that arm talent, is 6'5", is probably a better athlete. You know, they were doing a couple drills, like not even in the 7-on-7s, and Tyler was just nailing every target. You know, the deep balls are really impressive. And we have a name that we can have fun with, because even the Saints are tweeting Shuck It. Yeah. The shirt I saw is Shuck It. And we were talking about this on the podcast. It was like, it's the type of name that if he's good will be this kind of inside joke among Saints fans that, oh, okay, we all know how to say this name, so we can kind of get on board with it. If he's bad, it'll be terrible. It'll be Ian Book all over again. But, you know, it's fun to talk about positive things. And I think that's why, you know, Derek Carr retiring yesterday and kind of riding off into, I don't want to say sunset, but whatever kind of stormy, whatever it is. You know, I think that's what it is. It's this new era of football. We were out on Tuesday, and the whole team was out there. Kellen Moore was out there refurbishing a community center in Holly Grove neighborhood. Like, I just think the vibes around the team, the energy around the team, it's all very positive. Even the veterans who, you know, probably don't feel like this is necessarily the best setup to make a run at a Super Bowl in their last few years. The DeMario Davises and the Cam Jordans, I still feel like they're very bought in. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be positive about this team, and the quarterbacks are a big part of that.
You know, you brought up Kellen Moore there, and I love the fact that you were at the, you know, the Saints players helping refurbish that Holly Grove Community Center. You can read about it at WWL.com. He was also taking part in the team-building exercise of paintball. So just a very hands-on coach right off the bat with Kellen.
Yeah, I did see some people say, like, oh, I don't remember seeing Dennis Allen do this. I mean, for one thing, Dennis Allen had been here for 8 years prior to taking over, right? So, you know, that might not even be the right number, but like, he probably did a lot more community events when he was getting started here. I think that's kind of a new guy thing to do. I don't remember seeing Sean Payton out at a ton of these community events in the offseason, but no, it is cool to see Kellen out there, right? And it is cool to see how he's kind of building that energy within the team. That doesn't mean they're going to win a lot of games. That doesn't mean that we're going to see great football, but you know, I think one of the more important parts of this season, independent of whatever the record ends up being at the end of it, is that you're building a culture again. Because one of the defining things that happened in the Dennis Allen era was that you attempted to kind of sustain a culture that had been built under a different head coaching regime, and you failed to do that. That culture was gone by the time Kellen Moore walked in the door. And honestly, that was a bad thing for Dennis Allen. It's a good thing for Kellen Moore because he can kind of start things on his own without the shadow of Sean Payton or Dennis Allen kind of hovering over him. And I think that's kind of what you've been seeing over the last month, right? Is he's kind of putting his own stamp on all of these off-season practices, off-season sessions, how they're going to be done, how he's going to handle things. And so far, it's all been well-received.
You know, Jeff, heading into the final week of OTAs, and we got mandatory mini camp next week, and then there's like a month and a half break before we actually get to training camp. So this is almost the last time that we'll see him for quite some time. But I want to get your thoughts on what you're specifically going to be looking at for tomorrow as far as position battles, players, anything. I know pajamas and slippers, as we keep kind of mentioning it, you can't see much in the trenches, obviously. But what are you kind of looking forward to tomorrow, specifically position battles and players?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing we haven't seen yet is the kickers. You know, we saw Charlie Smith kick once in the first OTA session. No one kicked in the second OTA session, at least from what we watched. I'm sure there was kicking done on the other days of that session. But, you know, and it's not even really tomorrow. It's tomorrow plus minicamp, because over the 3 days of minicamp, we will get a start on some of these kicking competitions between Charlie Smith and Blake Groupie, between Matt Hayball and James Burnup. And that's not the most exciting thing in the world, but it is something that we will actually see, right? It's one of the few things you can do on a football field without pads on that is actually the same, basically, as what you're going to be getting in a game. So that's going to be something that over the course of those 3 days, they're not going to be able to hide from us. They're going to have to kick in front of us, and we'll get an idea of what they look like. You know, more interesting stuff, the quarterbacks are going to continue to be a thing. We're going to keep tracking all their numbers. We're going to keep talking about all the deep shots, all the big plays, all the mistakes. Like, that's going to be something throughout camp. It's not going to change. We haven't seen Hunter Deckers get any reps yet. I think at this point it's because there's just so few reps to go around. There was only 24 total last week. So I think it's probably just a numbers game at this point. But it would be nice over the course of the 3 days of minicamp to get a look at him, considering Jay Kaner won't be out there at all. So it would be that's something I'll be looking for, is it, does Hunter Deckers get any reps? Is there any shuffling on the offensive line? There wasn't in OTA session number two. We'll see if that's the case in the third one on Thursday, and then obviously next week at minicamp. I think the setup you have is pretty much what it's going to be, with Kelvin Banks at left, Fuaga at right, and then really the only question is whether Trevor Penning can be a starting left guard. So that's going to be something we watch, but we won't really be able to get any idea until they can hit each other and Trevor can start bullying some people. Beyond that, you know, it's really tough to get a read. Cornerback is interesting. Quincy Riley isn't out there right now. I want to see him compete with Ike Yadam. We won't get that until training camp. Although I did see Quincy out at the community event the other day, and he was pushing a wheelbarrow, and he looked pretty fine. Like, I don't think his injury is something that's going to be a problem for him. It's just going to be a question of when he can get out on the field. And then once they can start hitting, running back is going to be the big one. Where does Kendre Miller slot in? Where does Marcus Yarns and Devin Neal slot in? How do they look? I got a chance to chat with Devin Neal after the last OTA session. He's a really, bright kid. He's excited to be here. I'm really interested to see how he picks up Kellen Moore's scheme. And then beyond that, it's just going to be kind of all hands on deck, because there are going to be a lot of positions that maybe in the past would have been kind of foregone conclusions, that in a new scheme with a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, a new offense, you're going to have different things that you need at positions. So I wouldn't be surprised if this year, more than others, you see players winning positions at camp that you didn't expect.
You mentioned that running back position, Jeff, and that's definitely one that I get maybe the most questions about besides the quarterback spot. And you mentioned you got a chance to talk to Devin Neal. We haven't gotten to see much of anything right now. We've mentioned no pads. There's no contact going on. But it was interesting to hear Kellen Moore pointing out that Neal's understanding of the blocking scheme was definitely a major selling point in the Saints drafting him.
Yeah, drafting him and, what they've seen so far. I think one of the things he was talking about is he's picked up the kind of tenets of the scheme very quickly. And that's important for a young running back in terms of getting on the field. You can't put a guy on the field if you don't trust him in pass pro. So, yeah, that's good to hear about anybody, whether it's a rookie or whether it's a second-year guy, because it kind of puts you on even footing with the veterans. That's usually the biggest separator. Devin's interesting. The biggest concern he had was when I told him about the termite swarms, and he was like, "Wait, what do you mean swarms?" Like, "Oh man, you don't even know what you got coming. Once you see them, you'll know. Make sure to turn the lights off in your living room." And he was like, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're in for it. You're in Louisiana now, buddy." But it's fun to watch all these young guys kind of adapt. They have a 9-man rookie class. All these UDFAs, like, it's a much bigger new group than we're used to seeing. So it's going to be fun to kind of see everyone kind of get ingratiated into the offense, but also just, this time next year, he's not going to have wide eyes when he talks about termite swarms. He's going to be like, okay, I got it.
Another running back, I know you mentioned during practice the other day, the fact of, with Kendra Miller, he looked slimmer. I don't know if it's the number that he's wearing now, you mentioned, but have you gotten to talk with him at all in the locker room? Because curious how he's feeling going into, as everybody keeps mentioning with the new head coach here, a blank slate going into this season.
I haven't gotten to chat with him yet. I don't know if he's been in the locker room when we've been able to get in there.
Right.
I do think he has slimmed down, and maybe not even intentionally, just in the sense that last year he dealt with a procedure, in the off season. He came into camp probably a little heavier than he wanted to, and I think that probably played a big part in why he got hurt. And I just think this year he's healthy, or as healthy as he's going to be, and so he's coming into camp at probably a more set weight that he had hoped for. So I think it's noticeable that he does look like he's slimmed down a little bit. That's not always a great thing for a running back. You do want a little bit of bulk behind you. You don't want to get too light. But I think he knows this is a big offseason for him. And, when we talked to Kellen Moore, I asked him about, how do you address that with a player, a guy who may have had some differences, if you will, with the former coaching staff. Some things didn't go the way that either would have hoped. And he said, yeah, it's a blank slate thing. I asked him if he talked to him about that. He said, yes. It's the same thing we heard from Darren Rizzi when Darren Rizzi took over. And it was like, dude, like, I get it. That didn't go well, but we're here now and you just got to earn it. The thing is, at a certain point, you got to start putting stuff on that slate again, right? Like, it doesn't stay blank forever. So he doesn't have much time before that starts to happen. He's got to make sure what goes on that is a good report, not a bad report. And so that's something we'll start to see over the next few weeks.
So the Saints were outside practicing again today, Jeff. So I don't know what the weather's like for tomorrow, but it looks like we might not be in some AC tomorrow morning.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not putting on I'm not putting on sunscreen until I get to the facility. I learned that lesson the first time. I had my face all covered in sunscreen, and then I stood in the AC, and I was like, this is a con. What's going on?
Well, I'll see you out there tomorrow, Jeff. Thanks so much for dropping by a little.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.
That was Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also WWL's digital content producer. As we get ready for Saints organized team activity wrap-up tomorrow, and the Cajun Cannon will be out there as well. That means Bobby Abreu put his eyes on the black and gold. Don't miss our black and gold OTA breakdown powered by Cummings. We'll bring you Bobby's notes on practice and his all pro read on the new players, coaches, and schemes. That's tomorrow on Sports Talk 4 to 8 right here on WWL. We're going to step away. Time for a break. When we get back, get into some LSU baseball. Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com, helps us get ready for super regional action this weekend against West Virginia. Be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Back here on Sports Talk, LSU baseball advancing to super regional action. They'll be hosting West Virginia this weekend, and thankfully, it's going to be some reasonable start times for us. Helping us break it all down, Glenn West, the senior writer at go247.com. And man, oh man, I'm sure everybody's been complaining about some late nights this past weekend at the ballpark, Glenn.
Yeah, we're definitely ready to get some more reasonable starting times for sure. Been a lot of 1 a.m., 2 a.m., even 3 a.m. nights, but we're getting some better times, so that's good.
Just curious, obviously that last game against Little Rock, the Tigers go down early, and a little bit of doubt crept into many fans' hearts of what's going on here, but in the end, what a victory for this Tiger team, able to pull it out. So many heroes to talk about in that matchup. But just for you, that overall feeling at the box, what was the stadium like?
Yeah, there was definitely you didn't even need a knife to cut the tension in there. I mean, it was looking pretty rough there for a few innings, and you can thank Cason Evans and Ethan Frye for helping LSU climb out of that, because I think those are probably two of the better performances that I've ever seen individually in that stadium. And I think that obviously Evans going into the eighth inning of scoreless baseball,
kind of was the tone setter there to give the offense enough time to catch up. And then Fry goes 4-for-4 at the plate. I think he drew another walk, so he went 5-for-5 on the day of getting on base, and obviously had the big swing there in the middle of the game to make it 5-4. And then just from there, they were able to slowly and surely put together enough offense to get it done. So I think it starts with those two guys. You know, Luis Hernandez had a couple really big hits. Jared Jones obviously had the icing on the cake homer there in the
eighth inning.
That was really good. Yeah, that was great to see. So lots of positives there, but it was definitely a little hairy for a minute there.
Kind of a two-parter here, Glenn. I wanted to get your thoughts first and foremost, moving on to the Super Regional round. The left side of the bracket has the Friday, Saturday, Sunday Super Regionals, and the right side has the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it just so happens that LSU gets a full week of rest for Cade Anderson entering the Saturday game in the opener against West Virginia. But also, the best 2 of 3 for a Super Regional versus the double elimination format of regional play, it kind of suits this LSU team better, because with the two-headed monster that they have with Anderson and then also Anthony Ianson, who should be, you know, have an extra day of rest as well for a potential game two, it feels like with those two guys on the mound, LSU should feel very confident in a best 2 of 3 series.
Yeah, look, when those two are on the mound, LSU has a chance to win every game that they play. I mean, that's just how consistent those guys have operated. And if they just need, if they can just get a little bit of offensive run support, LSU should be able to handle this in two games. But they have been just elite. I mean, they should both be in the running for All Americans and certainly All SEC kind of players. But with what Anderson can give you in that first game on Saturday, I think it just sets up perfectly for his strengths, and having that extra, well, I guess not extra, but having a full week's rest will kind of keep him on schedule. And then Ianson did pitch on Monday. You know, close the game out there in the eighth and ninth innings. And so it'll be interesting to see just kind of, you know, him pitching twice in the weekend, how much extra recovery he's doing to get ready for this weekend as well. But yeah, you feel good anytime both of those guys are on the mound with how they've been operating for the better part of really 2 months.
You know, I know Jay Johnson likes to play with us with his pitching rotation.
Yes,
but
he does.
I don't think there's any doubt that Saturday is going to be Cade Anderson, right?
No. I would be shocked if it's anybody but Cade Anderson on Saturday.
And then, you know, talking about the offense as well, Glenn, the magic number that we keep going back to is the 5+ scored runs. When LSU's offense breaks the 5-run barrier, I think it's now up to 41-2 this year. When you include like the regionals and the 3 wins that they had, they broke the 5-run barrier. The one time they lost, they scored 4. And I want to get your thoughts on their offense against this West Virginia pitching staff this upcoming weekend, because West Virginia brings in, you know, a really strong team ERA. They have a couple top line starters that can go here. And I know that they won the Clemson regional more on the back of their offense. Like that game against Kentucky was 13-12 to win the regional and move on. But at the same time, they've got a solid pitching staff that could challenge LSU's bats.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking at a couple different things this weekend from LSU at the plate. I think that what you kind of saw towards the end of the weekend was them taking their more disciplined approaches at the plate. They were, you know, not swinging for the fences the entire time, and really they were just getting consistently on base. And so that's been when this team has been at its best. And you know, quite honestly, if you look at just kind of the West Virginia kind of numbers, they are a very high strikeout team. You know, they do a really good job of getting guys to swing and miss, and have a number of their starters that have an ERA of right at 3 or even under 3. I mean, they have been really, really, really solid throughout the entirety of the season. So they're going to be facing, you know, stiffer competition here with LSU, but, you know, certainly the Tigers, they seem to swing the bats a little bit better at home. They've been a much better home hitting team than they have been on the road. And so it's going to be really important for Jared Jones to maybe carry over some of that momentum he might have gotten from that final swing in the eighth inning on Monday. Certainly with what you've seen out of Daniel Dickinson, Luis Hernandez, Ethan Fry, Stephen Milam, I thought had a tremendous weekend at the plate for LSU, which is really good to see. So they're starting to get a lot of their big bullets that they were going to be counting on for a lot of this season kind of start to heat up at the right time. So that's a positive for LSU this weekend.
Looking at this West Virginia squad, how much you know about what we can expect from them offensively?
Yeah, if they get on the base, they're going to run a lot. I think they have over 110 steals on the season. DBU was another really fast running team, but thankfully, Cade Anderson didn't allow those guys to get on base very much to utilize their strength. So hopefully you can get another performance like that from him and Anthony Ianson, but just a really solid hitting team overall, just looking and kind of crunching the numbers. They do a really good job of drawing walks and getting on bases with free passes, and they're not a tremendously high strikeout team either. They don't hit a whole ton of home runs. They're very much a contact team offensively, and I think that's something that if LSU's pitchers can just force them to hit ground balls, line drives, pop flies, the defense will be able to take care of the rest, because they've been pretty exquisite defensively, LSU has, for really most of the season.
You know, it's interesting, Glenn, because when we were talking with Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball, he compared them to Kentucky. And I see it a lot when you're just crunching the numbers. They don't have a ton of pop, as you mentioned. Only 55 home runs for a team that averages almost 8 runs per game is definitely eye-opening. And then you look at, you know, their top hitters. They have like 6 guys hitting over 300 this year. They're hitting 300 as a team. And then, as you mentioned, with the stolen bases aspect, 108 stolen bases on 141 attempts this season. So they're right up there, man, in drawing the walks, getting on base, causing havoc. That's how they want to score their runs. Very similar to the Kentucky team that LSU saw in the Supers 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, and look, well, last week when we were there for their open practice on Thursday, we saw them doing, I mean, they had an hour and 15 practice that the media was allowed to see. And I would say maybe 20 to 25 minutes of it was spent on pitchers and infielders going through their different bunt coverages. And, this is a team in West Virginia that, you know, if they get guys on base, they're going to try to move them forward, and they're not going to have to do it through the power. They're going to try to do it through creative ways, through bunting, through, trying to draw free passes, things of that nature. And so if those guys are going to be really disciplined at the plate, those pitchers, Anderson, Ianson, certainly they're going to need some more guys after them to throw the ball over the plate. But if they're throwing strikes and they're putting the ball in play, this could be a really big weekend for the defense for LSU. And in terms of just proving what we have seen to this point is valid, that they are one of the better defenses in the country.
Glenn, Charlie and I love to say, and Jay, we trust, do you expect Coach Johnson to tinker with this his batting order some more? We know there was, you know, that last game against Little Rock, he had Ethan Frye batting number 2, and some other guys were moved around in there. Or will he, like, do you think things revert to back to how he usually sets things up?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, if you'd asked me that before that final Little Rock game, I probably would have said, don't really mess with the lineup. And then he, you know, changes a bunch of different things on us on the Monday game. And so now you've got us second guessing. So I would imagine that it looks around the same that the Monday game did. I did think they did some really good things with the way that order was set up on Monday. But look, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Jones, if he gets hot in that, you know, Saturday game, they might slide him back into that 2-hole if he continues to hit. And but look, I think that the biggest thing that they've really kind of leaned on these last couple weeks, when they have played well offensively, has been some of their power. And, you know, Ethan Frye's, you know, gotten into a few balls. They've hit a lot of extra base hits, and they've been able to drive home runs in that way. So I think that they will certainly try to lean into that again this weekend. And, you know, they've got a lot of guys that I think are coming along at the right time. Steven Milam is one I'm going to be watching very closely this weekend.
Yeah, he got hot at the plate in the regional action. And that, I mean, he's a real key piece, especially if he's going to be in the top part of the lineup where Jay had him slotted in at the 3-hole in the finale of the Baton Rouge regional. And Glenn, before we let you run, I just want to ask you, because obviously we've talked about Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson and how fantastic they've been. But with Cason Evans, who's been a weapon out of the bullpen for a majority of the year, I know that he had some starts kind of late in SEC play. He throws 109 pitches on Monday, and I think the general plan for Cason Evans is to have him potentially available for that Monday game 3 if it comes to it. But, you know, with Zach Cowan's kind of struggles a little bit late in the year and into the postseason, I just want to get your thoughts on who do you really trust behind Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson with, you know, Cason Evans potentially not being available to come out of the bullpen and instead having a role as a game 3 starter if it gets to that point?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, you know, I wouldn't expect Evans on, you know, 5 days rest to really be an option after throwing 100 something pitches in that Saturday game. To me, I would probably go to Cooper Williams, the freshman lefty, to back Anderson up to start that game. I think he showed you some really good things, even though LSU lost in that Sunday game to Little Rock. He was the only guy that pitched well in that game and was kind of the lone bright spot. I think he gave him 3 2/3 of shutout baseball. So if Anderson's working from the left side and dealing and you know, West Virginia's having a tough time figuring him out from the left side, I would figure that Cooper Williams would be a guy that Jay Johnson would go to pretty early. I still think they're going to go to Zach Cowan. I think that he has too much built up trust, even though some of the last, couple performance for him haven't been great. I think they're still going to go to him and for some really important outs this weekend. And then, you know, after that, I think it's really just a feel thing because there weren't a whole ton of guys outside of those three and Evans, Anderson and Ianson that showed you a whole lot out of the bullpen. So I think it's really going to be about who can step up, and there's probably going to be a quick leash on a lot of these guys if they can't throw the ball over the plate this weekend.
Glenn, and maybe the toughest question for you, are there any go-to concessions at Alec Box Stadium? Charlie and I are making our way there this weekend.
Yeah, Glenn, come say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, they had a Drago's cart out there last weekend. They were doing char grilled oysters. They had some pasta dish that they were doing. They had an alligator dog. That was certainly up there for me. And we were able to use our media tickets on them too. So got a good deal on it.
We got to knock on wood though, because the last time that Steve and I tried to make the trip out there was the 2023 regional. And it was the game that there was not a single drop of rain, but there was just a lightning strike every like 3 minutes. And every single time we saw it, add another 45 minutes to this delay. And so we sat out there for probably about 5 to 6 hours, Steve.
And saw zero baseball.
We didn't see a single pitch of baseball. So hopefully, I know that the weather is maybe supposedly going to be a concern for Saturday, but, you know, I don't want to go through that again. So just knock on wood heavy that we're able to watch some baseball this Saturday when we take a trip to the Box.
Absolutely. This last first game of the regional, we sat around for 4 hours and there really wasn't much rain either. So hopefully it's the regional round where the bad luck with the weather kind of sets in and this series won't be nearly as bad.
Awesome stuff always, Glenn. Thanks so much for your time, man. Have a good night.
All right. You guys too. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Go there. Check out all his great work. Just looked up Charlie. Saw another goal for Florida, who was down 1-0 early. Now suddenly the Panthers up 2-1 over Edmonton in the game one of the Stanley Cup final.
Average Stuart Skinner game, Steve. This dude, he's unbelievable. He either lets like everything go by and he'll give up 5 goals tonight for Florida, or he'll just shut out like whatever team that he's playing. So, you know, I've already come out and said I'm rooting for the Panthers, so I hope he gives up those 5 goals and Florida wins a fun game. Let's say 5-4, Steve. What do you say?
I like it. Hopefully we get a fun game too Saturday, like you mentioned. Rain, go away. Please let us enjoy the wonders of Alec Box Stadium with an on-time start. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with more. You can sound off too on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. We are right back after this on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, You can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Back here on Sports Talk, you heard the numbers of the Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. We're going to head right there and say hey to Carl. Carl on the line, want to talk some Saints action. What's up, Carl? Carl has dropped off the line.
Ooh. Womp womp.
Womp womp. Well, we got another one on our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line. Jimmy and Gretna wants to talk about the Supers. Jimmy, how you doing tonight, man?
Hey, man, I'm still hungover. Southern Miss lost. I'm going to the regional. Go LSU. My wife's an LSU fan. She's an alum. So I'm putting all my weight. I told Charlie I'm putting all my weight behind LSU to bring it home.
Go Tigers.
Take it to and go Tigers. I'm going to wear my Southern Miss gear and start some trouble over there at the old tailgate. But
at least it's not Ole Miss gear.
Yeah, exactly. They're cool with me because of that. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, look, I'm excited about the NBA Finals. You know, I want to talk really quickly about the Zion deal again. Listen, I'm all in. I feel like the chances of us landing another first overall pick, yeah, we're bad, so it could happen. But we got to ride this guy, like Dumar says. I know there's a time and end for everything, but we got to hope. If we have him until 2028, like you guys said, that's three more years. We got to do everything we can to make this work. Because, again, a trade usually doesn't work out. And back to the Brow trade, you know, if you guys remember when we made that trade, everybody's, and including me, I called into the show and said, look, we did pretty good considering. But, I mean, listen, Herb Jones is the biggest piece of the Anthony Davis trade that we really have left. That second rounder we got that turned into Herb Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys tell me, because Brandon Ingram's gone, and from what I can tell, Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong here, the computer chip, what else did we get in that trade that's still here? All I'm saying is big blockbuster trades for us with our star players, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon didn't work out, Anthony Davis, Brandon Ingram didn't work out, and I'm not sold on all this stuff. I know there's accusations out there. It's all allegations as far as I'm concerned until confirmed otherwise. We know that sometimes they're real and sometimes it's people trying to get money. And as far as I'm concerned as a fan, I'm not going to crucify the guy unless I know personally. So that being said, Charlie, tell me, what else do we have left from the Anthony Davis trade?
I'm trying to think of as far as the first round, the major first round pick you got in that Anthony Davis trade was the number four pick in that same Zion draft that you traded away for Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander-Walker with the 8th and 17th pick, and both of them are gone as well. Steve, do you have more information on the first round picks and what they've potentially turned into?
I definitely would have to look that who that was exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a little bit more research into it, Jimmy. But as far as the Zion trade, the guy just doesn't have value at this point, unfortunately, especially with now these allegations out. But even beforehand, he had questionable, like, I know that ahead of the deadline, there were potentially some teams that were interested in going out and getting Zion, but nobody's going to overpay for someone with that many, with those many question marks as far as his on-court production and being able to stay healthy which he just hasn't shown in the 6 years that he's been here. Yes, the talent flashes would make it potentially worth it, but once again, it's going to be closer to 70 cents on the dollar. And now at this point, with all the extracurricular stuff off the court, it's going to be even lower than that, I think.
It was really, you know, you see what happened with Brandon Ingram here, and things just never turned out well when he was available. I really liked the piece that Brandon Ingram was, but there was just too many inconsistencies with injuries with BI as well. We'll see what he ends up doing now in Toronto.
That's the weirdest team in the NBA right now for me. I don't know what they're doing. Scottie Barnes is the guy that they're built around. BI is like a side piece, I guess, but they're paying him $40 million a year.
Pretty good side piece money.
And he hasn't played a single game for them yet because of that ankle injury. That's the worst ankle injury known to mankind. But, you know, I don't understand what Toronto is doing. Good luck to him, I guess. I don't have any necessarily ill will towards BI at this point. He's out. Just similar to like how Derek Carr's moved on. BI's moved on. Bye-bye.
Going back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Carl back on the line. We won't hang up on you this time. What's up, Carl?
I accidentally pushed the red button.
Oh, okay. Hey, I thought it was our part.
No, it wasn't my fault.
I wanted to say a couple things. Number one, I hear this talk about Shaheed developing, and he's a Ferrari, not a Ford F-150. He don't need to be going over the middle, especially chasing wounded ducks like Derek Carr was on Duck Dynasty or something like that. Olave was getting killed. Streaks, post patterns, and quick outs, catch it, step out of bounds, reverses, kick returns. Don't wear this guy out. AK, he's already getting wore out. Why doesn't New Orleans, with all the Louisiana talent, get Leonard Fournette and run his big self up the middle for short yardage?
You think Fournette still got something in the tank?
Well, I think he's a big guy that could absorb them hits instead of AK taking them just to get, you know, first downs and short yardage. He's not going to be 100-yard a game back or anything like
no,
that.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I'm curious to see what this running back room ends up looking like. You know, a whole new regime now with Kellen Moore coming in, and we see what he's done in his previous stops. A lot of young talent on this roster. Still want to see what Kendra Miller has, if anything. You know, and some of the other younger guys that they've brought on this team. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Leonard Fournette signing if you're looking for that short yardage guy in this offense. But curious, you know, what Kellen Moore plans to do there.
I'm hoping Devin Neal can be that guy, Steve. And we'll see what happens. Like, we'll get more of a look at it with pads at practice and training camp and everything.
I wouldn't expect Leonard Fournette to sign anytime before training camp happens.
Right, I agree.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more to close things out right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Wrapping things up tomorrow on Sports Talk, folks. Bobby Hebert's in the house with me and Mike Dottilier. You get the Cajun Cannons Black and Gold OTA breakdown, plus the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, joins us, and the voice of the West Virginia baseball team, Andrew Corradi, previews the Mountaineers' best of three regional series against LSU. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great effort. Not everyone going to watch those Stanley Cup finals finish up right here. Game one. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great night. Love you. Who dat?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.